You know, that last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes is really a conclusion of what was, and I think still considered to be, a very interesting search on the part of Solomon, who wrote the book. It's a search that led him to realize and understand what the purpose was and what the meaning of life is all about. And in the course of this, he was able even to see the destiny of man. Now, how many of us have been like these people that we have pictured here, who sit around in a very pensive mood sometimes and just begin to consider, what is all of this about? We ask the question sometimes, who am I? What am I? Am I just simply a higher life form, a higher form of primate life? What's it all about? Where did I come from? What does it all mean? And more importantly, where am I going? And I'm certain that all of us at one time or another, I know at least in my life, I can say that that's been the case, we've thought about things like this. We've confronted these questions. Men and women have done this for centuries. And the interesting thing about that is that even though it's a series of questions that people have asked over the years, there are many people who view life as a total mystery. Well, what are the answers to these questions? Where do we find the answers to these questions? Are the answers to these questions found under a microscope? Are the answers to these questions found in medical science? Are the answers to these questions found with the exploration of space and the uncovering and the finding of more and more galaxies? You know, where do we go to seek conclusions to these or to find answers to these? You know, millions of people are looking everywhere to try to find answers to these. Many people escape into the fog of drug use. Are the answers found in my just simply turning to alcohol or to drugs? What do I do with life? A lot of people are looking into the mystics or mysticism, to the astrologists and others to try to find meaning. Others are turning to the occult. Are these supplying the answers? Some people just simply immerse themselves in promiscuity and just turn to pornography and other things, trying to find some sort of meaning and some sort of purpose. Or people just develop throwaway relationships, enter into one marriage after another, trying to find some sort of satisfaction and try to find some sort of happiness and try to seek some answers to the meaning and the purpose of life. And especially when we begin to consider the fact that a lot of people tend to think that the society in which we live, the world in which we live, is basically on the eve of destruction. Well, we have the threat of a nuclear war at any time. Our young people are told that the earth is heating up, that global warming is just simply going to melt the polar caps. Or we look at the pollution and the AIDS epidemics that are existing in all parts of the world. And then we realize there's the real threat in our land of a war occurring with Islamist fascists. And so again, we're left to scramble about to try to find some meaning to all of this. Especially when we think that things are just about to just blow up in our faces. What are the meaning? What is the meaning of life? What's it all about? Where do we turn for meaning? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes is an interesting book, because it was written during a time that the writer perceived that doom was just over the horizon. He was able to look about and see all the problems and all the conflicts that were existing in his day. And he searched throughout all of these mind-numbing events to see whether or not he could find the meaning of life. The writer, Solomon, king in Jerusalem, shares with us in the book of Ecclesiastes his search. He shares with us his dabbling in various things to try to find the meaning of life. And then he concludes the book and tells us that without God there is no meaning to our existence. Let's notice what the writer says in chapter 3 in describing his time in which he lived. He said, "Moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of judgment wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness iniquity was there." How many of us have said pretty much the same thing? We just look about us and see all that's happening around us, and we think, you know, it's terrible. Well, we live in an evil time. But the book was written during an evil time. And it was written to offer help with the struggles that people were going through in this evil time. He uses a phrase there, "under the sun." Now that phrase, "under the sun," simply means on this earth. That's what he's talking about. He's examining things under the sun. He's examining things that are upon the earth. And he reaches some conclusions based upon that. He says, "Vanity of vanities," and it really starts out this way. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" Notice, five times in those two verses do we find him emphasizing the word vanity. Now notice now that this word vanity or vanities translates a Hebrew word that is defined this way. Vanity is something that is transitory. Now what we mean by transitory is that it's passing, it's brief, it's fleeting, it's temporary. And secondarily to that, not only is it passing, but if something is transitory, not only is it fleeting, but it is totally unsatisfactory. That is, there are no meanings attached to that which is vanity. And what the writer says is that all things under the sun is vanity. What he's telling us is, and what he's reminding us is, that all life upon this earth is passing. All life upon this earth is fleeting. It is filled with evil. And it is therefore absolutely meaningless. That is, without God. Now that's his conclusion. Without God, ladies and gentlemen, and I've got to tell you, if we can't get this message, then I don't know what the future is going to hold for any of us. If we cannot get the message that Solomon wants us to get, and that life without God upon this earth is absolutely empty and meaningless, is of no value. That's the message. Everything upon this earth is transitory. So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said the conclusion is, fear God and keep His commandments. This gives meaning to your life. This gives meaning to my existence. If I fear God and I keep His commandments, he says, for this is the whole duty of man. Now that's the King James Version. And that's an interesting thought. What does it mean, for this is the whole duty of man? What does that mean? Well, let's consider some other translations. Now the New American Standard Bible says, because this applies to every person. And indeed it does. If we're going to receive meaning in this life, then we're going to have to recognize that what Solomon says here applies to each and every person. But some other translations say, for this is man's all. That's what the New King James Version says, the translation that I use. Now what does it mean that it's man's all? Well, we notice in the New International Version, it says pretty much like the Old King James, but it points out that the duty here has been added by the translators. So what he's telling us is, this is what gives us purpose and meaning. This is man's all. Fearing God and keeping His commandments is all there is to man. That everything else upon this earth is empty, it is meaningless, it is passing. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to fully experience our lives until we learn what the purpose of our lives are about. We can't really live until we realize why we are living. We can't possibly find meaning in our lives until we can find out why we have been placed upon this earth in the first place. Somebody said one time that the tragedy of life is not that it ends so quickly, but that it takes us so long to understand what it is all about and begin to live it. Our life is going to end. There isn't any question about that. We announced from the pulpit this morning of the passing of a brother that has been a friend of this congregation, although he was a member of another congregation for years. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, that same announcement is going to be made in some local congregation about you and about me. Our life upon this earth is going to end. It is going to end soon. And it's going to end for certain. What is it the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10? That the average lifespan of a man is 70 years. But if by reason of strength he's able to live for 80 years, he's soon cut off and he flies away. And until we begin to realize why we're here upon this earth, we'll never find happiness, we'll never find meaning, we'll never find contentment, because we don't even know why God has allowed us to live. Now Solomon is sharing with us in this book some of the things that he discovered. We teach our children, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived during the Old Testament. He's known for his way. People used to flock and just come to hear what the man said, and to just allow some of that wisdom to trickle down upon them. Well, let's do that this morning. Let's delve into the book and let's see if we can find some of that wisdom, and let's see if we can find what he looked for in trying to find the meaning of life and why he reached the conclusion that he did. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's recognize that what he recognized in the first place is true. As we go back into chapter 1, we're going to find that the achievements, no matter what they are, that we have here upon this earth, hold no meaning. Listen to what he said. He begins the book in verse 14 of chapter 1 by saying this. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping, he says, for the wind. Well, you know, I've done it. I have accomplished it. And I've got to tell you, Solomon probably accomplished more than any other man in his lifetime accomplished. He was able to build the temple of God, the most striking structure that was in existence at that time, the greatest structure that had been built up to that time. And Solomon says, I looked at all of this. I seen all the works that man was able to do. I seen all the accomplishments that man was able to have. And he says, you know what? It's like trying to bottle sunshine. It's like reaching out here and grabbing two handfuls of air. Do that. Grab two handfuls of air and see what you've got. Nothing. Now, that's what Solomon says. He said, well, all the accomplishments of man, he said, it's empty. It's meaningless. There's no purpose in them. Yeah, I think about the number of people who have sacrificed families, sacrificed relationships, sacrificed even Christianity in order to pursue careers, or in order to pursue sports activities, or in order to pursue fame. Oh, you know, this is where it is. If I could just have all of these, but I tell you, you don't find fulfillment there. Listen to me. If you take fame, for example, you take popularity and prestige and wealth, if these things produced happiness and they produced contentment and they produced meaning, then I'm going to tell you something. Kurt Cobain would still be alive today. Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin would be alive. River Phoenix and Brad Renfro and Heath Ledger would still be breathing air. They achieve things, but I tell you something, they realize somewhere along the line, there's nothing to this. That's why they turn to the things that they did. Because it's meaningless. I come across a quotation, or really an interview with Tom Brady. You know, he's a guy that has won 3 Super Bowl rings, he points out. But here's what he says. You know, people say, man, if I could just play in the NBA, if I could just play in the NFL, if I could just play Major League Baseball, man, that's what it's all about. Brady says, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life, me, I think. It's got to be more than this. I've got the world by its tail, and I still think there's got to be more than this. He concludes by saying, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. There's more out there. Indeed, there is. Solomon said this in the long ago. Solomon said, I have searched and I've seen the accomplishments of men, and he said, it's empty. Let me tell you something, young people, listen to it. You can make some decisions. You can decide that you're going to abandon your family. You're going to throw off their value system. You're going to throw off their what they've taught you. You're going to abandon friends, and you're going to abandon ethics and values you were raised with. And you may even abandon God to pursue something in this life. But I'm going to tell you, once you get it, you're going to come up empty. Because there's no meaning and there's no fulfillment in achievement. Solomon told us that a long time ago. I'll tell you something else. He points out to us that things that we can accumulate, that we can own, hold no meaning whatsoever. Let's notice what he says in the 2nd chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. He says in chapter 2, and I guess we could read all of verses 8 through 11, but let's just notice what he said in verse 10 beginning. He said, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands have done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, listen to it, it was all vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit, says Solomon, under the sun. Let me tell you, if gadgets and games and conveniences were all that we suppose that they are, and all that were cracked up to be, if they gave us purpose, then I'm going to tell you something, we'd be the happiest generation who have ever walked upon the face of God's green earth. We've got more now at our fingertips. We can do more now and than our ancestors ever dreamed even possible to be done. Have they given us purpose? Well, I'll tell you why. Empirical evidence proved the Bible to be correct. Why do you think suicide continues to increase? We've got things, we've got conveniences, we've got games, we've got all of these that we can just wrap our arms around, but people are still taking their lives. Men and women are still in record numbers existing by taking antidepressant medication. Why? We've got all of these up. Because there's no meaning in those things. This is the reason that you hear people say, I just don't get any better than this. And then you know what they do? They pop the top off of a Bud Light. That doesn't get any better than this, but I've got to have something to get me through the day. Or it doesn't get any better than this, but I've got to have this medication to just put out all of the things that are bothering me. And you know why? Because there's no meaning in these things. Not whatsoever. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and if we could learn the truth of this, it would revolutionize us. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. If I believe that, and if you believe that, then you and I would learn peace, and we would learn contentment, and we would learn meaning. Let me tell you something, young people. There's no meaning in designer fashions. There's no meaning in iPhones and iPods. There isn't any meaning in the things that you can purchase down at Best Buy or any other electronic device. There's no meaning to those things. Solomon said it's like trying to grab a handful of air and keep it. But you know what, young people, I don't just blame you for thinking there are meanings in those things, because you many times are living in a culture where the grown-ups think that there's meaning in having an 8,000 square foot house, 3 or 4 cars in the garage, 3 or 4 vacations that are taken every year. They're teaching you that there's meaning in things, but there is none. You will come up empty every time. Things are like salt water. You're thirsty and you take a big drink of salt water and it's not going to quench your thirst, and you drink enough of it and you'll choke to death and die. And that's the way it is with things. We need to listen to Solomon. Solomon says, things hold no meaning. Well, I'll find meaning in education. I'll bow down and worship in the halls of academia. I'll find meaning in my PhDs, or I'll find meaning in my engineering or my doctorate degree. Well, Solomon says, no, wait a minute. There's no meaning in achievements. There are no meaning in things. And he said, I'll tell you, there's no meaning in wisdom or in education. Listen to what he says. Verse 13 of chapter 2, then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Oh, I said, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet, listen to me, yet I perceived that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why then was I more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. I don't believe Solomon, and I'm certainly not knocking education. Education is good. Education provides us with the tools that we need to exist and provide often for ourselves. But what Solomon is telling us is that meaning is not wrapped up in that. And we need to learn that. Meaning of living upon this earth isn't wrapped up in the number of degrees that I can get behind my name. It isn't wrapped up in the number of schools that I'm able to attend. That's not where the meaning of life is found at all. You know why? Because we've not been placed here upon this earth to split atoms. We've not been placed upon this earth to clone sheep. We've not been placed upon this earth to find cures for cancer and AIDS and all of the other maladies of life. That's not the reason that we're here. Now, these may help mankind in the short term, but they're not going to help us in the long run at all. Because that's not why we have been put here upon this earth. I think about that sometimes. And I think about just what Solomon said. You know, you take a wise man, he's going to die just like a fool. You think today, there's absolutely no difference in Albert Einstein and some tenant farmer somewhere. No difference at all in Albert Einstein and a man that never went to a day of school in his life. Both of them are dead. And this is what Solomon says. Both of them are going to die. You can spend your life achieving all of these degrees, all of this education that you can get. Listen, you still won't die. The same thing's going to happen to you that happens to a fool. So don't sell your soul to academia. There's no meaning. There's no meaning there. I'll tell you something else doesn't hold any meaning, and that's pleasure. Solomon made that crystal clear too. In chapter 7 of the book, he said in verse 2, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Well, that's the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. He said, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. Then he says in verse 6, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. He said, this also is vanity. It's no benefit at all to us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen to me, of viewing life as a joke. And that's the way that a lot of people want to view life. It's a big joke. Oh man, lighten up. How many times you hear somebody say that when you want to get somber or serious about, oh man, come on, lighten up. Don't take life so serious. Don't be so serious. Well, you only go around once, so give it all you got. Just have a good time. You know, a lot of people just want to be a fun guy or a fun gal, just a sort of a happy-go-lucky person and not worry about anything. Not be concerned about that which we view as morbid. And so they go around never thinking about the darker side of life, which is death. You know, we don't go to funeral home. I don't go to funeral home. I don't want to go. You know, I got something. I'm going to a ball game, man. I don't want to go down here to the funeral home. That's too morbid. That's too depressing. God says you go. Because God says this helps you understand what the purpose of life is. Meaning of life, ladies and gentlemen, isn't found in the comedy clubs and on the comedy channel. It's found in funeral homes and in graveyards. Because that's the end of all mankind. We too are going to die. Solomon says, there's no meaning of life in achievements, in things, even in education, or certainly not in pleasure. And he lets us know also that just being young is not what it's all about. Youth, as well, holds no meaning. Listen to him over here in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. He said in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes." But, hear me. "Know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh." For listen to it. "For childhood and youth are vanity." There's that word again. Remember what it meant? Transitory, fleeting, brief, passing. No meaning whatsoever there. What he's telling us is that we're not always going to be the age we are now. You're not always going to be a 13-year-old. You're going to grow up. You're not always going to be 16. You're going to grow up. You're not always going to be 18. You're going to mature. You're not always going to be 21. It's brief. It's fleeting. It's passing. I tell you, and all the tummy tucks and all the Botox injections and all of the hair coloring that we can use is not going to slow one bit the aging process. We're going to grow older. Because that's what Solomon says. Life is like that. It's brief. It's passing. It's transitory. Now, God isn't telling young people, don't enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. That's what it says. Enjoy the vigor that you have. Enjoy the way that you feel. But he's also giving you a warning. Don't waste it. Don't make some decisions in your youth that will destroy you in your life and in eternity. Don't do that. You know, some of the biggest decisions that we make as young people. We decide who we're going to date and who we're going to marry. Listen, you be careful in that. You may make a decision in your youth that will haunt you for the rest of your life. A lot of young people make decisions to become promiscuous and to give away their virginity and they're, "Oh, I'm in love." You'll make a decision that you'll live to regret. Solomon says you be careful. Don't you become a throwaway. Don't you become wasteful. And that's what prodigal means. Did you know that? We read in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke of the prodigal son. That word prodigal means wasteful. Here was a wasteful son. Not only did he waste his inheritance, he wasted a lot of his innocence and his purity as well. And what God is saying is don't waste these things. There is no meaning. There is no meaning of life in these things. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you have made it your purpose to pursue achievements or accumulate things, or to just continue to strive for education, hoping that you can find something there to give you purpose or pleasure, or trying to hold on to your youth, if these have been the things that are driving you, then that's why you have the feelings that you have of coming up empty. Because there are no meanings to these things. And there's a reason for this. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 reminds us that He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts. You see, there's something about you that cannot be satisfied with the things that we've talked about this morning. You see, the Bible reminds us in Genesis 1:27 that we're made in the image of God. There's eternity in our hearts that cannot be satisfied with earthly achievements or earthly things. We are His offspring, Paul reminds the Athenians in Acts 17. We're the offspring of God. And we can't be satisfied with things any less than a relationship with Him. He's the Father of our spirits, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Eternity resides in our hearts. This is why Paul reached the same conclusion in the New Testament as Solomon reached in the Old. Therefore, we make it our aim, our purpose, our meaning for existing, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. That's why you're here. That's why you live. To serve and to love and to honor Him. He's given you life. Just think about it this way. How disgusting it is for a child to have been given life by a loving parent or loving parents, and then suddenly grow up to say, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with Mom. I don't want to have anything to do with Dad. I'll do everything that I can to hurt them, to disappoint them. You know, that's disgusting when we think about it in that regard. But God has given us life. He has allowed us to live. He has made us in His image. We are His offspring. He's the Father of our eternal spirit. And how disgusting it is, and how blasphemous it has become, when we live our lives in such a way as to dishonor Him who has given us life. What's the reason that we're here upon this earth? It's to fear God and to keep His commandments. Have you lived up to why God has given you life? Have you lived up to deciding that you're going to fulfill your purpose for existing? And that is to fear God and to keep His commandments. If you haven't done that, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song in just a second or two. And we're going to encourage you to do just that, to fulfill your purpose for living upon this earth. And that is to surrender yourself to the living God. Why don't you become a Christian today? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, you can begin to fulfill your purpose for living and breathing upon this earth. Now, if you never obeyed the gospel, never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, I want to just remind you something. We have a baptistry right back here, and it's filled with good warm water. We have garments over here that will fit you. We have all things ready, except your willing submission to the will of God. Why don't you surrender to the Lord this morning? If you've done that and gotten sidetracked, you begin looking at these things that we talked about this morning trying to find meaning, repent of that. That's wrong. It's destroying you spiritually, and it's destroying you emotionally. Get your life where God wants it to be. Repent of that and pray, and become what God placed you here upon this earth to become. You're subject to the invitation. Won't you come right now? As together we stand, and as we sing this song.